You know, the more I dig into the story of Lydia, the more intrigued I am. We miss the beginning of this story. Before Paul and his crew met Lydia, Paul writes that he was planning to go to Asia, the other direction. Bithya, Mysia, all these names, you know, I can't really pronounce, even after a master's in divinity. But trust me on this, they're plural places. But it writes in Acts that the Spirit of Jesus said no, which I'm a little jealous of. You know, I would love the Holy Spirit to clearly say no and yes to me, but that's a side note. So while they're in this city of Troas, Paul gets this dream, this vision, to go a different direction, to Macedonia. And in this vision, this man is pleading for help. And so they did. They sailed from Troas to Samothrace to Neapolis to Philippi. And from there, they hang out in the city of Philippi. And on the Sabbath, Paul goes outside the city to the river. And there he meets a group of women. He sits down with them like a rabbi sits with their disciples. And they talk about God. There's so many nuances in this story that we miss. The first is, this is like a pivot point. This is like the halfway point in Acts. And this is the first instance we hear of those early disciples going to what is modern day Europe, Greece. This changes the trajectory of Paul's ministry. Second, on the Sabbath, when Paul would enter a new town, he usually went to the synagogue. He was Jewish. He knew how to talk to the other religious leaders and the men. And sometimes, you know, he'd make his own little soapbox and he'd stand on it and talk to the worshiping crowd there in the faith community. But this story doesn't take place in the synagogue. It doesn't even take place in the city. He leaves the city gates. He goes to the river. And then the third thing is, the people he talks to at the river are not men, but women. Not only women, but not Jewish women, Gentile women. And this would have been really unexpected and shocking. He would not have won the approval of the locals through this. And all these things, the Holy Spirit is doing some incredible work. And because of that, we actually get to know her name, Lydia. And we know her profession. She was a wealthy merchant. There's also a quirky shift in this story that you wouldn't know without reading the verses around it. There's a shift in the storytelling from third person to first person plural. The shift of voice in this story makes it more relational. We sat down. She listened to us. And then she invited us, urging us to stay with her in her home. The Holy Spirit is a wild thing. She sends us to uncharted territories, outside of our church doors, and down to the riverside, across known entities and borders, and into the mystery, into relationship. In Jesus' last moments with his disciples before going to the cross, we hear this little snippet where he describes what the Holy Spirit's going to do. You will know and follow my voice, and I will make my home in you. Mind you, the very next thing the disciples do after Jesus gives him this little pep talk is they scatter. They forget everything Jesus has taught them. They abandon him at the cross. And when he comes back to life, they lock the doors to try and keep him out, not just once, but twice. Mary comes in and says, I have seen the Lord, and they don't believe her. Even though Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. Oh, well. Jesus knows this is how it's going to go. And yet, despite all the facts, Jesus tells those worried, anxious, failing disciples, that as the world falls apart, as they too will fall apart right in front of him as he dies, they will not be alone. The Holy Spirit will be with them. And Jesus describes the Holy Spirit in this really intentional way, an advocate for when they lose their voice, a teacher to remind them of the wisdom that had been taught to them, and this deep peace that will remind that they do not need to earn or buy or win favor, but this peace is just going to come, bringing their hearts some freedom from fear, some rest from all the anxiety, and courage when they need it most. The Holy Spirit is with those disciples. The Holy Spirit also shows up with Paul and his crew, teaching them to move beyond known quantities, bringing them peace and ushering in this new reality, cracking open these preconceived boundaries to a new life-giving way of being community together. You know, you may have heard that this rumor that our strategic planning team has finished their work. Woohoo! Yes? Yay! There is a draft strategic plan on the table. The council just approved it on Thursday, and we will officially celebrate it on Pentecost, which is June 8th, so just a couple weeks away. But I wanted to share a spoiler alert because it just reminds me so much of this story of Lydia. Now, through our listening sessions this past year and reflections around Faith Lutheran, one thing that we kept coming back to is hospitality. Perhaps it's not shocking or surprising given the work we've been doing around a wider welcome. We even had this line in our mission statement about open doors. And then we laughed because our doors are literally locked all the time for our preschool. And we have open doors when we don't have open doors. But metaphorically, our doors are open a lot to a lot of Lydias who would never actually be inside a church otherwise. Just outside this door, we open our doors to goat yoga and bingo, to this thing called Ludo Sports, which is exercise by lightsaber. Every week we have health classes through Virginia Health Center, and they do Tai Chi and Zumba and senior size and Pilates. On Saturdays, there are Bollywood dancers in our loft. And once a month, Mona, the Mothers of North Arlington, have 100 kids running around our fellowship hall for these fun kids events. Every day, we have these Turkish caterers that use our kitchen, and I tell you, Thursday is bread day, and it is so dangerous. This week, they made this new, like, Turkish pita bread, and it's kind of like focaccia or ciabatta, I don't know. It was amazing. It only lasted one day in the Valenti house. And we also share a space with this quirky Russian folk orchestra, and they have these giant instruments, and so many different people walk in this building every week. And yes, they do pay us a little rent to use our space, but we are starting to notice that they are more than renters. And perhaps there's a way for these relationships to be more mutual. They are like Lydia sitting by the river just waiting to be asked. When we collected food for AFAC during Lent, the orchestra heard whiff of this, and they doubled what we were able to share. Doubled in one rehearsal. Just like Lydia had deep hospitality to offer, the strategic planning team and the council and your pastor, we all want you to wonder with us, how can we deepen the roots of these relationships? How can we say yes to the ways the Holy Spirit is already moving in our midst in ways we never could have dreamed of? Also in our strategic planning work, we name that Faith Lutheran is surprisingly unique. So Kids Soar is an organization that provides free, adaptive, athletic, recreational, and skill-building activities that empower youth with physical and developmental disabilities so they may strive, own, achieve, and realize, soar, yeah? That they may soar to their potential. After their last season of softball, Jody was talking with some of the other families and saw this need to keep gathering together. And so she offered Faith as a space to host things like karaoke night or a St. Patrick's Day party. Because even though the sports season was over, the community could still gather together. And she shared with me that it was holy ground space, that these kids felt safe to be fully who they are, loved and enough and celebrated. And that these parents, these caregivers, could also let down their guards. And one by one, they began to share their stories of how church spaces had not been safe spaces for them. How they had been told their kids would not be welcome in confirmation class because they wouldn't get it. That they had been asked to stand in the back or maybe leave in a church. And it was really sobering for us as a strategic planning team to hear that. Because that word of welcome and hospitality is so important to the DNA of this church. That not only are our doors, well, metaphorically open, but how can we say this louder? That we celebrate who you are, all of who you are, and you are needed and a part of this vibrant community, that we are not complete without you. That you are welcome in this space, and we know you have things to teach us. Especially for these families who are constantly trying to navigate, will this be safe space for me? If anything, the story of Lydia can remind us that every single person has something of value to share. Every single person, even if they haven't been raised in a church, has the Holy Spirit living in them, and they know the love of God. Sometimes they just need someone like a Paul to help give language to it. This whole story of Paul and Lydia is fascinating because, you know, as someone that just finished the strategic plan, like, we have worked really hard on this thing. We have a binder. We have a report for you. But Paul kind of did this visioning, strategic planning thing too. And, you know, he's sitting in Troas and he has this vision to go to Macedonia to help a man. And what happens? He meets Lydia by the river and it changes the course of the history of the early church. We can never fully know the full picture of what we are here to do. Even at Faith Lutheran Church, even after doing strategic planning. And yet, God has given us so many incredible resources. Loving, caring people, money in the bank, and this beautiful building. And so we are called to ask, how are we being called to share God's beautiful language of love and forgiveness and acceptance? How are we called to speak it? How are we called to embody it? How are we called to meet the Lydias in our lives and invite them? Knowing as we do this work, we're going to make mistakes. The disciples did too. Paul didn't listen to the Holy Spirit all the time. And yet somehow the Holy Spirit's going to win her way. It's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is with us in this scary time of change, proclaiming to our anxious hearts a word of peace. And so, dear ones, let us go. Let us go to the river. Let us go where God is calling us. Let us be open to where the Holy Spirit is moving, trusting not that we go alone, that God goes with us. Thanks be to God for all the Lydias. Amen.